What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Northview Church Podcast. We're so glad that you're taking time to listen to today's message. Northview is a place for you to grow closer to others and to grow closer to God. We would love to meet you in person and have you visit us at any one of our campuses. You can find a campus near you or get more information about Northview by visiting us online at northviewchurch.us. Now, let's join our senior pastor, Steve Poe, for this week's message.
So in February of 1979, a small plane crashed into Ontario Peak in the San Gabriel Mountains. And what followed was a 10-hour story of death, courage, and survival. You see, the passengers of that little Cessna airplane included the pilot, a young woman, an attorney, and his 11-year-old son. The pilot and attorney were killed instantly in the crash. The boy and the young woman then huddled in the snow near the plane for 7 hours, hoping to be rescued. But after a while, they decided that they had to try to climb down the treacherous mountain or they were certain to freeze to death. But not long after they began their descent, the woman slipped on some ice and fell 350 feet to her death. And now this 75-pound little boy is alone on the mountain in freezing cold weather. He's bloody and bruised. Both of his hands were broken. As he slides down the mountain in the seat of his pants, he clutched a stick with both of his broken hands that he used as a wedge or as a brake so that he wouldn't slide too fast. Eventually, he made his way to the foot of the mountain where he was found and rushed to a nearby hospital. Before they released him from the hospital, they did a news conference where the boy was asked a barrage of questions. How did he have the courage to continue on? Didn't he feel like giving up? He was a shy kid. And so the boy had one simple answer to all of their questions. My dad taught me to never give up. My dad taught me to never give up. I know that seems like a simple piece of advice that we probably all have given to other people at one time or another. But in the case of this boy, it was a whole lot more than that. The advice from his father literally saved his life and forever became this father's legacy. So dads, please, don't ever take lightly what advice you're giving your kids. They are listening even if they act like they're not. So guys, what kind of a mark, what kind of an impact, what kind of a legacy do you want to leave your children? There's nothing, I would tell you today, guys, as a dad, there's nothing I think that's any better than being a father. Oh, maybe being a grandfather is a little bit better. But anyway, there's nothing quite like being a father. I love it. It's completely different being a father to grown children as it is being a father to kids when they lived in your home. And it's different, and yet I love both of it. And I want my kids to be proud of me. And I'm just going to tell you, I want your kids to be proud of you as well. And that's why I would tell you it frustrates me that you can't watch television today without seeing a father portrayed as a bumbling idiot who hasn't got a clue and whose only role is to sit detached from the rest of the family. And yet, in fairness, there are some cases where that is a good depiction of a father today. In fact, statistics tell us that 40% of American children will go to sleep tonight in a home where the father does not live. And before the age of 18, more than 50% of all children will spend a significant portion of their childhood living apart from their dads. Guys, it was not all that long ago that a child could pretty much expect to grow up with his dad in the home, and today that's just not the case. And yet, at the same time, I don't want to be a downer completely because there is some very encouraging news on the horizon. In the past 35 years, the number of dads present at their kids' birth has risen from 27% to more than 90% today. Dads are also so much more involved in the child care today than they were, say, 50 years ago. And I love this next statistic. More than 75% of men say they would trade rapid career advancement for more time spent with their families. I love that, and I think that's super encouraging. Of course, as a pastor, the piece that concerns me the most is the lack of spiritual interest. What concerns me the most is the lack of spiritual leadership in the home. You see, guys, if you are a believer, If you're here today, you're a dad. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, then you have the responsibility, you have the obligation to be the spiritual leader of your home. It doesn't matter if you say, well, my wife's been a Christian longer than I. It doesn't matter if you say, well, my wife knows more scripture than I do. It is a God-given responsibility to be the spiritual leader of our home. Now, don't misunderstand me, please. The Bible clearly affirms the equality of men and women. Don't hear me say anything else. The Bible clearly affirms the equality of men and women. That's not what I'm talking about. But what it also shows us that God has assigned the responsibility of spiritual leadership to the husbands. Now, I know that, I certainly know that some of you are saying, well, you know, my husband's not even a Christian. How can he be the spiritual leader of our home? I get that. That's a whole other situation. In times like that, if your husband is not a believer, then ladies have to step up and be the spiritual leader of their home. Others of you would say, well, my husband is a Christian, but no matter how hard I try, he won't step up and be the spiritual leader. Again, that means that you have to step up and be the spiritual leader. But I'm saying in a home that is driven by the Spirit of the Lord, that God has given the man, the husband, the father, the responsibility to be the spiritual leader, and that's what you need to allow him to do should he take that responsibility. Let me read you this passage, and I think it'll help. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Now, I read that passage, and there's one word in there that just messes this scripture up for most of the ladies in the room, and that's this word submit. Because the ladies are reading that and going, that ain't gonna happen. It isn't gonna happen. But the problem is, ladies, we don't understand what that word means. Because what that word means in the original language is pay close attention to. That's what the word submit means, pay close attention to. So what this passage is saying to you is, wives, you need to pay close attention to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord, because God has given him their spiritual responsibility. Now, certainly a husband and wife are working together to direct the family, but God has ordained the husband to be the spiritual leader in the home. But men, do you understand? That's why you, if you're a believer, you need to take responsibility and you need to take steps to grow in your faith. You know, for a while you can use the excuse and say, well, I've only been a Christian for a month. I don't even know where to begin. But that doesn't work after 10 years. You know, after you've been a believer for 10 years, at some point you've got to stop saying, well, I haven't been a Christian very long, because you have. And that's why you have to take responsibility to be the spiritual leader in your home to grow in your faith. The Bible also is very clear that fathers are to be difference makers by leading and loving their wives and children. This next passage, Ephesians chapter 5, he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So how did Christ love the church? Well, if I recall, he died for the church. So guys, what that scripture is, what Paul is telling us here is that as husbands, as fathers, we have a responsibility to be willing to lay down our life for our family if necessary. Now that doesn't mean you will have to, but at the same time, you need to be ready and willing to, if that's what it's called. It is an ultimate spiritual responsibility that God has given you, is to be the spiritual lead of your home. Listen, guys, again, I'll say to you, that is why it's so important that you make a determination that you're going to grow in your faith. We just got through doing the study of Galatians. And in Galatians, I basically said that salvation is a free gift from God. It has nothing to do with us, but it has everything to do with what Jesus did on the cross. We don't deserve it and we can't earn it. But once we receive this free gift of salvation, we step across the line of faith. At that point of our life, we become a disciple. And now as a disciple, we have to decide that we're going to go forward. We're going to grow in our faith. That we're going to stay focused on Christ and we're going to grow in our faith. You have to be intentional about those decisions. And so as a church, we want to come alongside you and we want to help you in any way we possibly can. We have all kinds of programs. One, Authentic Manhood Group is a great place, dads, for you to jump into. Take Your Life Back on Sunday nights is not just for men, but it's another place that you should jump into. Every Man's Battle, for those of you that are struggling with sexual temptations, that's a great place to jump in. Our Soap Bible studies that take place at all of our campuses. These are verse-by-verse Bible studies early in the morning. Our men's discipleship walk, you'd only do this one weekend in your life. And if you have not gone on a discipleship walk, I cannot encourage you enough. If you have questions, I'd love to talk to you about it. Because the discipleship walk is an opportunity for you to be with a group of men for a weekend, and it's a life-changing experience. And it really will help you to go into a deeper dive. It'll help you to grow in your faith. And then, of course, the growth plan that we came up with this last fall. The growth plan is a program that's designed specifically for you to go into a 90-day deeper dive. You literally design it specifically for you and where you are in your spiritual journey, and then for 90 days, you go through this process. Another 90 days later, you go into another deeper dive. And so just encourage you to jump into some of those programs. I believe that the majority of dads want to have a positive impact, or they want to leave a positive legacy. So today what I want to do is I want to give you 6 characteristics that I believe will help you do that. Now certainly, guys, there's more than these 6 characteristics. These are just 6 of them that I came up with. I actually came up with a whole lot more, but I thought, well, let's just cover 6 of them, 6 that I think are important. So if you have your notes, pull these out. I think they'll be helpful to you. Number 1, and that is be a man of integrity. Be a man of integrity. Now, these are not necessarily in order of importance, but I have to tell you, I put that number 1 because I think it is number 1. This is really, really important. I mean, dads, come on. Just decide that you're going to be a man of your word. You would think that that would be obvious. You would think that that would be the easiest part of being a father. And yet it's so easy for us today. It's so much a part of our culture today to just lie. It's so much a part of our culture today to make excuses. It's so much a part of our culture today to break promises. And so we need to be a man of integrity, to be a man of our word. You know, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9, he says, people with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. So what do we even mean by integrity? Integrity and honesty often are used interchangeably, but I think integrity is actually a step deeper. I think it's more important than just being honest. Being honest is something you do, but integrity is something you develop. It becomes a part of your character. It becomes a part of who you are, even when no one's looking. So when you become a man or a person of integrity, it's no longer that I want to be honest to the people I'm with. It's like I want to live a life of honesty even when no one's in the room, even when no one knows what's going on in my life. I just want to be that person. I want to be that man. If you want your wife and kids to respect you, to look up to you, then they need to see you as a man of your word, a man that they can trust, a man that they can depend on. It's one thing for people at work to respect you. It's another thing for people at church to think you're a good man, because for goodness sakes, you come to church on the weekend and you might see somebody that you've grown to like, and maybe you talk to them, 20 minutes a week? They think he's really a great guy, but they don't really know you, do they? Even at work, where you spend a whole lot more time with that person, they don't know what you're like behind closed doors. In Psalms 101, he says, I will be careful to live a blameless life. When will you come to help me? I will lead, this is what I want you to see, I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. That's the decision that I'm asking you to make. I'm asking you to draw a line in the sand and say, you know what? I am deciding today that I'm going to lead a life of integrity in my own home. Guys, I realize none of us are perfect, and I'm not trying to tell you that we are. I'm certainly not at all. But your family sees you at your best, and they see you at your worst. They see you when you cut someone off in traffic. I may have shared this story before, but many years ago, Ryan has grown and a dad himself now, but when he was at home, he was probably 11 years old, and Sandy's family's in Texas, and so we were there seeing his family, or her family. And Ryan and I were in downtown Fort Worth. I can't even remember what we were looking for, but we were trying to find this place, and we couldn't find it. We were lost, and we kept circling around the block. And I had a guy cut me off, and I lost it. And I said things I'm embarrassed I said, and I said it at a volume I'm embarrassed that I did it at. I was ticked. And so when I regained my composure, of course, you know, what's Ryan going to say? Nothing. And I'm realizing I just blew it as a dad. I'm realizing that I need to apologize to him, but that's harder yet. And so I didn't want to apologize. I didn't want to admit that I was wrong. So we continued going through to Fort Worth trying to find this place we were looking for. And it was like a weight of blocks on my shoulders. I felt so guilty about this. And so finally, probably 30 minutes later, we've been driving around. I pulled off to the side of the road and I said, Ryan, I just need to apologize to you. I said, what I did back there was wrong. It was uncalled for. And just would you forgive me for acting that way? Now, he didn't say much, but I know it meant more than what he showed. Now, I'd love to tell you that that was my only time that I ever blew it. But I wouldn't be a man of integrity if I stood up here and said that. Because there were many, many times that I blew it with my kids, that I blew it with my wife, that I blew it, whatever. So we're not perfect. Or what do they hear when they're at the dinner table? Do they hear you talking about the neighbors? You see, guys, it's easy for some odd reason, we have this idea that our kids that are sitting there at the dinner table have got something in their ears so that they can't hear what we're saying. And so while we're ripping apart the neighbors, our kids are hearing it and taking it all in. You know, maybe what you ought to consider is if you've got something to say, don't say it in front of your children because they hear all that. And here's a better idea yet. Don't say it at all. Just don't talk about the neighbors. They hear the way you talk about the neighbors. They watch the way you treat the poor. They watch the way you treat the marginalized. And they're very much aware, hear me on this, guys, they're very much aware of the promises that you have made their mother, and they're very much aware of the promises that you have made them. And they're very much aware when we break those promises. Oh, they may not say anything. You may not hear about it, but they feel it very, very deeply. I'm just saying, dads, while your family can be very forgiving, they rarely forget, which is why you need to be aware of your kids, always watching and always learning. That's why we call it learned behavior, because as they grow up in the home, they begin to learn how to act by watching mom and dad. And so the way you behave, the way you act, the things you do in front of them are things they're going to learn. So you want to make sure that the things you're doing in front of them are things that you want them to aspire to, that you want them to learn in their life. Good or bad, it's going to happen. So here's the deal. If you want your kids to grow up to be honest, reliable, and trustworthy people, then they need to see you model it all the time. Think about it. What happens if you were to catch your boss, your work, and you catch your boss cheating, or you catch your boss lying to you? It changes the way you feel about your boss, doesn't it? You say, well, I knew he was a liar. I'm just telling you, when you catch your employer, your boss lying to you, no matter what you thought of him, it's going to lower it another peg. It's going to go down just a little bit. You're going to lose some respect for that individual. Well, the same thing is true with our families. So I guess the ultimate question is, how would your kids describe you once you're dead and gone? But probably the more important question is, how do you make them feel when they are around you today? How do you make your children feel when they're in your presence? Do they feel safe? Do they feel secure? Do they feel loved? Because all of that, I'm telling you, is birthed out of integrity. All of it's birthed out of what they have witnessed, what they have watched growing up in your home. A second characteristic, number two, is be a generous man. Be a generous man. The Bible makes it clear that we make a living with what we get in life, but we make a legacy with what we give. Now, I'm not talking about spoiling our kids or being foolish with our money. I'm talking about our kids seeing us as generous to those that are less fortunate. A few years ago, I've told this story before as well, but a few years ago, I took my oldest grandson, who's now 15, but at the time was 4, Jake. I took him to the Children's Museum. And so we were leaving the Children's Museum, and as we were leaving, he was sitting, of course, kids sit in the back, and so he was behind me, and we were at a stoplight. And while we were at a stoplight, I would assume a homeless guy with a cardboard sign came up to my window. I could see him coming, and I didn't give him eye contact. And he starts talking to me. The window's up, but he's talking to me loudly and asking for money. And I never looked at him. I just shook my head no. And then the light changed, and I drove on till we got stopped again. And from the back seat, my four-year-old grandson said, "Papa, he just wanted money." And I got to tell you, it was like somebody hit me in the face. Even to this is 10 years later, and I still get a lump in my throat telling that story. It absolutely crushed me of the horrible example that I just was to my grandson. I want to be, not only do I want to be a great example and inspire my children, but I want to inspire and be a great example to my grandkids. And he just witnessed me give him a horrible example. Listen, guys, we are to emulate Jesus. We are to emulate our Heavenly Father. And when we look at the characteristics and the nature of God, God is a giver. In fact, John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave." Giving is an outward demonstration of a heart of love. Giving is an outward demonstration of a heart of love. Guys, I want you to see that there is a connection between your generosity and your ability to influence your family. I've often heard parents say, "Steve, we don't talk about finances with our kids. We don't want them talking to their friends about how much money we have or how much we give." And I get that. But parents, you don't have to be specific with the numbers. You can simply let them know that God is the most important thing in your life, and therefore you give God your tithe. You give God your first, and you give God your best through the church. Let them know. If you're supporting a child overseas, for goodness sakes, let your kids know that you're supporting this child overseas and to see what you're doing and what you're sending them. If you're helping poor in the city, let your kids know you're helping poor in the city. I just think it's so important for them to know that we're using our money to help other people. I also think it's important to change the subject just a little. I also think it's important to teach our kids how to create a budget. You know what? God has entrusted everything the Bible makes it clear that everything we have belongs to God. We are just stewards. We are just managers. And oftentimes we think that the 10% that I give God, then that now God's off my back. I've done what I'm supposed to do. Now this 90% is mine to go do what I want. That is not at all what Scripture teaches. The Scripture teaches that it all belongs to God. And the bigger responsibility is the 10% we give to God is the easy part. The hard part is, are we going to be responsible with the 90% we keep? Are we going to demonstrate our love to God by the way we handle the money that he has entrusted us with? And so it's important that we teach our kids how to handle their financial resources. You know, my dad never talked to me about giving. He never talked to me about being generous until after he became a Christian when I was a teenager. You know, before, you know, we rarely went to church, and there was never any talk about God in the home, and until I became a teenager, and at that point, my dad surrendered his heart to Christ, and it was completely life-changing for him. And because of that, his values and his priorities changed, and he wanted to be the spiritual leader in his home, but it was almost too late because I was about ready to leave home. In fact, I had just gotten married, and one day I was over at his office, actually, and he pulls his checkbook out, which I thought was a good sign, but it wasn't at all what he wanted. So he pulls his checkbook out, and he said, "Can I just talk to you about something?" And he starts talking to me about our responsibility to handle God's money. And he said, "Steve, I know now you're married, now you're on your own, but," he said, "I just want to talk to you about how I handle my money now that I'm a Christian, I'm a believer." And he explained to me how he handled the tithe and how he handled all that. And I was just blown away of his desire to be the spiritual leader now. I was just blown away, but his priorities had changed, his values had changed. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness, well, it endures forever. Listen to me, dads. You represent the heart of our Heavenly Father. When I talk about, when we go back, clear back to the first scripture I shared with you, we have a responsibility to be the spiritual leader of our home. You represent the heart of our Heavenly Father to your kids. Please, please take that seriously. People don't pay a lot of attention to what you spend on yourself, but they're taken aback when you give to help those that are in need. In Proverbs chapter 11, he says, A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. I love that. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. When you begin to bless other people in need, you'll get the greater blessing. And those of you that are generous know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like when I give to help somebody out, I know it's going to help them, but I seem to get more out of it. It's just a blessing to me. All right, let me jump on. Number three, be a humble man. Jesus exemplified humility. In Matthew chapter 11, he says, I love this passage because, well, let me read it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. That's why I love this passage. Jesus is describing to us his character, his nature. He's giving us a peek into who he is. He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Friends, humility is not the same as weakness. Humility is not the same as low self-esteem. In fact, true humility is actually a sign of strength. Did you know that? True humility is actually a sign of strength. A humble man is a confident man because he recognizes that his identity is found in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he'll lift you up in honor. You know, we're so worried that we won't get a seat at the front of the line. We're so worried that we won't be honored for all the works that we did. But the fact is when you humble yourself under the mighty power of God, at the right time, he's going to lift you up in honor. You don't need to worry about being lifted up or exalted at the right time because he will. But our focus needs to be on humility. Our focus needs to be on Christ. While true humility comes, listen to me, while true humility comes from confidence in Christ, pride comes from insecurity. Humility is actually the opposite of arrogance and pride. If you've ever spent much time with someone who is arrogant or prideful, you know it's not a fun time. In fact, I've heard it said that pride is the one disease that makes everyone sick except the one that has it. So dads, do you want to leave a great legacy with your kids? Then teach them to be people of humility. Number four, be a man with a servant's heart. In Mark chapter 10, he says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served. Get this, we're talking about Jesus. For even the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve us. Again, if we want our kids to see Jesus in us, they need to see us as a man who demonstrates kindness to other people, as a man that's willing to serve the needs of others. They need to see that serving is something that we value, that serving is something that's important to us. Again, once my dad became a believer, he jumped in with both feet. I mean, again, most of my child years growing up, he was not a Christian. God was never talked about in the home. I never saw him serve in the church. We would go to church on occasion, not really very often, but on occasion we would go. But after he stepped across the line of faith, it was a radical change in his life. And now all of a sudden, he not only wanted to attend church, he wanted to be involved in church. He wanted to serve in church. And so they didn't have a bus ministry, so he asked them, well, would you let me start a bus ministry? Which they did. He ended up growing that bus ministry. This is back in the 70s, growing this bus ministry to about 300 kids every weekend with six different buses, going to the poor and the projects in the city to bring kids to church. He also then got an idea. He said, well, what if we had a 24-hour prayer chapel where somebody around the clock was answering the phones for people that had prayer? And I would tell you guys, it's hard to man a 24-hour prayer chapel through the night. And there were many nights I would hear him getting up in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock, to drive down to church to operate the phones at the prayer chapel because he couldn't fill the slot. It's also important to know, this is a big deal, it's also important to know that not only did he do that, but he got us as a family all involved in doing that. It's important to serve as a family so that your kids develop the same value in their life. So teach your kids the importance of serving others. Listen, if you want your kids to follow Christ long after they leave home, then teaching them to use their gifts and talents to serve other people will ensure, my friends, that that happens. In 1 Peter chapter 4, he says, each of you, every one of us, should use whatever gift you have received. And I would tell you, everyone in this room has been given gifts and talents by God. You should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each of you, every one of you, been given a gift and talent, and you need to use those gifts and talents to serve other people. Number five, be a man of prayer. Be a man of prayer. In 1 Chronicles, he says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. You know, guys, again, at times it's really hard to be a dad. It's hard to always make the right decisions. You don't always have the answers to their questions. You can't solve all of their problems. And sometimes, to be honest, it's hard to know how to instruct them, to tell them what to do, or even how to discipline our kids. And that's why I think it's so important to daily ask God to give you wisdom to be a good father. Dads, I don't know if you have a daily prayer time. If not, I would encourage you to start a daily prayer time. And on the list of your daily prayers should be for your kids to say, God, you know what? I want to be a good dad. I want to lead my family in the way they should go. And so I need wisdom. And you said that if anyone lacks wisdom, that we could ask of you and you would give us the mind of Christ. And so I'm asking you, God, as a father, to give me the mind of Christ when it comes to raising my kids. Listen, man, everything in our culture is competing for your attention, and prayer is what gets us refocused on God. There's a lot of noise in the world that we're living. There's a lot of people shouting us in the world that we're living, telling us to do that and to do this and to do that. And when we pray, it centers us, first of all, and it refocuses us on Christ. I would also encourage you to pray for your kids daily. Pray for their safety. Pray that they will make wise decisions and choices. Pray that God will bring positive influences in their life. Pray they will always keep God first in their life. And dads, please, please hear me on this next statement. Please hear me on this next statement. It is a big deal for your kids to have you pray for them. Now, I know some of you, we get so hung up on the words that we use, and we're like, you know, I'm just not good at prayers. I don't know the right words to say, and I would only sound foolish. I will tell you, your kids don't care about the words you use. They could care less whether you think you sound foolish or not. They just want to know that their dad cares enough about them to pray for them. And so when they come to you, maybe you're praying at mealtime, maybe they come to you and they don't feel good, and you say, well, let me pray for you right now. Maybe they're having a problem at school with another student or an issue, and you say, well, why don't we just pray about that right now? Don't be worried about the words you use. They just want their dads to care enough to pray. I promise you. Listen to me, guys. I promise you. They will remember those moments for the rest of their life. They will never forget when my dad prayed for me. They'll never forget it. Listen, guys, I hate it. I hate it that they took prayer out of our schools. I hate it that they took prayer out of our classrooms. But I think it's a bigger problem when there's no prayer in the home. Now, I've already mentioned, but one last one I want you to see is number six. Be a spiritual leader in your home. I already touched on this. Be a spiritual leader in your home. And the best way to lead our family is how? By example. Your kids need to see you walk the walk, not just talk the talk. They need to see that spiritual things are a priority for you. I think they need to see that church is a priority for you. You know, we would never allow our kids to just skip school because education is so important to us. So why in the world do we allow them to skip church? I'm a great advocate for education. I think it's important. I want our kids to be educated. But at the same time, I'm talking about their spiritual life. And it's a whole lot more important than their education. Listen to these statistics. If both the father and the mother attend church, 72% of the children will continue attending church after they leave home. If both mom and dad go to church, 72% of those kids will continue to attend church later in life. If only the father goes to church, the percentage drops to 55% will continue. But if only the mother goes to church, it drops to 15% of those children will continue to attend church after they're grown. So my point is that research shows us that children take the spiritual lead from their father. Those statistics are clear. You know, so dad, you might feel good about yourself and saying, well, I send my wife and kids to church. Now, granted, can I just say this? I know I'm not talking to the right crowd because, dad, you're here. So we're talking more about those that are not here, unfortunately. But the idea of sending, I'm going to send my kids, I'm going to send my wife to church because they need that spiritual training, but I've got other things I'm going to do. Your kids will not forget that. And it will have an influence when they grow up and leave the home. It will have an influence on them. I love the quote by Austin Sorensen that says this: a child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. Dads, you only have 18 years, basically, with your kids, and I promise you, those 18 years are gonna fly by faster than you can begin to imagine. I know if your kids are young right now, you're thinking, oh man, I've got a long time with them. But speaking from a grandfather, I can tell you those years fly by, so use it wisely. At a commencement address given by Barbara Bush, listen to what she said. I thought this was good. She said, quote, as important as your obligation as a doctor, a lawyer, or a business leader might be, your human connections with your spouse, your children, and your friends are the most important investments you could ever make. At the end of your life, you will never regret time spent with your spouse or your children or your friends. Unquote. Let me close with one more quote from another lecturer, Sam Keen. I thought this was good too. He says, quote, I have learned what many men only learn after a divorce. There is nothing more precious than our children. In quiet hours of the night, when I add up my accomplishments in my life, in which I took justifiable pride, books, lectures, seminars, a farm I built by hand, etc., I know that three rank above all the rest, and those are my three children. In the degree to which I have loved, nurtured, and enjoyed them, I honor myself, and I would also honor God. In the degree to which I have injured them by being unavailable to them because of my obsessive preoccupations with myself or my profession, I have failed as a father and as a man. The health, vitality, and happiness of the family is the yardstick by which a man, a woman, and society should measure success and failure. Guys, I pastor a very large church, but I can tell you that when I stand before God one day, I don't think his first question to me is to ask how I did as a pastor. In fact, I know the first question that he will ask me is the first question that he will ask every one of us, and that is, what have we done with Jesus? And I think the second question might be, did I treasure the wife that he gave me? Was I faithful to her, and did I inspire her to use her gifts and talents for the Lord? The next question might just be, did you love your kids? Did you model Christ to them? And did you lay a spiritual foundation for them? You see, guys, those are the things that really matter in life. So dads, what kind of a difference do you want to make? What kind of difference are you making in your home? And I would just challenge you on this 2019 Father's Day to draw a line in the sand and say, you know what, this is going to be the day that I'm gonna now start being intentional about some things. I know I'll still blow it. I know I'll still make mistakes. I know there'll be times I'll have to apologize. I know there are things that I will do wrong. But as of today, I'm drawing a line in the sand, and there are some things I'm going to improve in my home to be the dad that God wants me to be the dad that my kids deserve to have. Pray with me. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for your faithfulness. And I pray for every single father in this room, every dad in this room today. I ask you, dear God, to give each one of us as fathers a spiritual hunger like we've never known before. That more than anything else, we'll be driven with this desire to know you more. I pray that you would give us, every father, the mind of Christ when it comes to raising our children. Give us the ears to hear them. Give us the ears to hear them. Give us the eyes to really see them. And give us the wisdom in how we can love them. And God, the courage to discipline them when necessary. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the hard work of every man, every father in this place, and the sacrifices that they have made for their family for so many years. And I pray, dear God, that you would help them to fully enjoy and bask in the blessings that come with parenthood. And I ask, Lord, that 2019 would be the best year they ever have as a dad, as a father. Thanks, God. We love you and praise you. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Happy Father's Day, guys. Love you. Have a great week.
Thanks again for joining us on this week's podcast. If you have any questions or would like to speak with a pastor, please connect with us on our website or through social media. You can also find a Northview location to visit in person by going online to northviewchurch.us and then selecting the locations page. We're so glad you joined us today, and we hope you have a great week.